I remember when I was a little girl, I had a strong sense of being drawn to the Lord. Since I was small, I had this strong feeling of, I want to be with God, I want to know Him. I didn't really know where it came from, because at that stage, the gospel wasn't really explained to me. But I was literally drawn to the Lord. But in the same time, I also experienced a lot of confusion, because I grew up with a lot of rules and regulations in my home. For example, my mom wouldn't allow us on a Sunday to wear pants. My sister and I had to wear dresses, because this is what's now going to please God. And that was just one of the many things I grew up with. It confused me, because I was drawn to a God that was loving, but also I couldn't understand all these rules. And yes, there are rules in the Bible. I wouldn't even call them rules. It's safety nets. Because God loves us, but something like wearing a dress on a Sunday and God being cross with you for not wearing a dress, I couldn't really figure that out. And the result of that was that I was continuously giving my life to the Lord over and over. Whenever there was an opportunity at school, at SCA or in church, if there was an invitation, who of you would like to commit your life to the Lord? I was there, because I was worried. I was constantly worried that my previous attempt to give my life to God was not going to do it, and I'm not going to make it, and I'm not going to be allowed into heaven one day. I was lying awake at night as a little girl, stressing about whether I've done enough to make it. And I really wanted to go to heaven. I was drawn to the Lord, but I was confused. I was really confused. And up until the age of 13, I battled with this. And at 13, I got myself a witness. I thought, let me get myself a witness, because then the devil can't come with these lies anymore. And I spoke to my SEA teacher, and she prayed with me, and I committed my life to the Lord. And for the first time, I felt the reassurance that, you know, that I was not going to have to do it again and do it again and do it again. And obviously, consecrating your life to God and seeking Him is good. But if you're born again, you're born again. You see, the devil was so playing with my mind because of all these rules. And I just realized over and over how the devil wants to convince us that it's not by faith and not by grace, but it's by works. Vian, my son, is 5 years old. He's very interested all of a sudden in reading his Bible. And he said to me about 2 weeks ago, "Mommy, if we don't read our Bible every day, Jesus is going to punish us." I said to him, "What? Where did you get that?" I mean, I definitely didn't tell him that. So he couldn't really tell me where we told him that. But obviously, he must have heard it somewhere, you know, that maybe somebody told him that to maybe at school or somewhere to motivate them to read their Bible. But you see, that is what I grew up with. That was so confusing to me. I saw God as a God of love, but there was also a kind of a punishment involved if you don't read your Bible every day, or if you don't wear a dress on a Sunday, you know. So I just realized that even in my little boy who was 5 years, somewhere there's already a perception that you could be very easily in trouble with God if you don't, you know, have all your ducks in a row, whatever you want to call it. And I want you to reflect over your life just for a moment. I want you to think if you've ever felt drawn to God in some or other way. If you've ever felt as if, you know, Andre always says that we are a Holy Spirit magnet, that God is drawn to us, which is true. He wants to be with us. I'm going to show it to you now in Scripture, this magnet thing, how it's really true. But have you ever felt drawn to God? Have you ever felt drawn to Him? Or do you feel that you need to perform? Do you feel that there's so many, many, many things that you have to do before you can receive his love? Do you perceive him as loving and merciful and kind, slow to anger, rich in love? Or do you feel that, you know, you must think before you say and think before you do, and you must just be really, really careful, otherwise God is going to be unhappy with you. How do you perceive him? How do you perceive him? Do you feel that it's possible to feel closer to God than you feel to your spouse if you're married? Even if you're single, can you imagine feeling closer to a God that you can't see than to your husband or your wife? I just want you to think, you know, just reflect over your own life. How do you perceive God? How do you perceive him? There's a scripture in Jeremiah 31 that says, it's God speaking, says, "Yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." This is Old Testament. But God is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Since ever, since the beginning of the world, he has loved us with an everlasting love. And with a loving kindness, he draws us continuously. He wants us to be with him. He wants to be with us. There's something inside of God that, you know, that made him sacrifice something that he loved so much so that we could live. Which means that there's something about his love that we can't just understand with our heads. We somehow have to experience it with our hearts. We somehow have to feel it and know it deeper than just an intellectual understanding. When I became a mother, I changed. I think maybe, you know, God has put in us a capacity for love, that when you become a parent, you're drawn to this little being with a love that is just stronger. It's an emotion. It's something inside of you that you can't really figure out, but you are drawn to this little being. They're not even speaking. In the beginning, they're not even laughing. They're not even doing anything, all right? But you are drawn. Maybe they cry, okay? I mean, they do things. They do certain things, okay, for those of you who don't know babies. But, I mean, they don't respond necessarily to talking or to... They just lie there. There's lots of babies born in the last 2 weeks. For those of you who don't know, Yanni's baby is 2 weeks old tomorrow. And Rosalda's baby is born 3-4 days ago, and Kim's baby, another Kim's baby, is born also about 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, there's lots of people who would be able to relate to what I'm saying. You change when you become a parent. There's a capacity in you to love a little being that you've never had before. And I think when Vian was born, for the first time in my life, I could really relate to a little bit of what God feels towards us. You know, even if we don't perform, even if we don't walk yet, spiritually speaking, you know, even if we're even not even crawling yet, there's a love. He loves us. And it's not dependent on how perfect we are or how good we are. And I mean, what Andre said this morning is so true. When we want to please God, there's many things that we can do, but his love for us is so unconditional. He just loves us regardless of how perfect we are. Let me take you to the scripture in John 3:16, we all know. But I want to highlight verse 17 to you this morning. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." He did not send Jesus to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. So the devil is trying his best to condemn us. He's trying his best to put the focus on us, where it's so clear in Scripture that God did not send Jesus to condemn, but to save. But to save. There was a love that is not connected to condemnation, but to salvation. Let me take you to another scripture in 1 John 4:18 that illustrates this beautifully. 1 John 4:18 in the New Living, it says, "There is no fear in love, because perfect love expels all fear." This perfect love is the love that Jesus feels towards us, that God felt towards us since ever. "If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment." Box law, no? For fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. It shows that we have not yet fully experienced His perfect love. You know what happened to me when I spoke at the women's conference this year? For those of you who don't know, Shofar has an annual women's conference for the last 4 years. Let me start with 2 years ago when they phoned me about 3 days before the conference asking me if I would do a welcome before one of the sessions. And of course, over the telephone, I said, "Yes, of course, anytime I'll do it." And when I put the phone down, I phoned Andre and I said, "Oh no, they want me to do a welcome. I don't want to do it." You know, I was afraid. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get on stage. I just wanted to disappear in the crowd. That was 2 years ago. And the big reason why I was so afraid, I was afraid I'm going to mess it up. I was afraid that in the whole big conference, I'm going to be the one who makes a mess. I'm going to be the one who can't remember the English word that I was, you know, thinking about beforehand. Or I'm going to just make a mess. And the organizers are going to afterwards think, "Why on earth did we ask Sonica? Just note, put down somewhere never to ask her again." I was scared. I tell you, I was so scared. And it took away my boldness. And yes, I did it. And afterwards I thought, why was I so scared? Because it was a two-minute thing that nobody can remember in any case. And now this year, they invited me to speak, to be one of the main speakers. Now, I experienced a complete different, whatever you want to call it. I experienced something completely different than 2 years ago. When I don't know how many of you will remember the day, the weekend before I left, Andre called up the elders and they prayed for me, and all of you prayed for me, and the church prayed for me for 3 Sundays in a row. You know, and after that prayer, I received so many messages from people who said to me, "I saw this picture and God is saying this, and I just want to encourage you." And you know what? This year, even though I had to speak, I had to do a whole session compared to a two-minute welcome, there was no fear. And the big reason for that, I believe, was that I felt loved. I literally felt as if, even if I'm going to make a mess, even if I'm going to mess it up completely and they make a note, "Please never ask Sonica again," I'm going to come back here to East London and to all of you, and I'm going to feel loved. And I'm going to feel accepted. And I'm going to feel, even if I make a big mess, you'll give me another chance. This is really how I felt. And I felt God saying to me, "Sonica, I love you. And it's not about your performance. It's not about how good you speak or how good your teaching is going to be. I love you." And it set me free. I tell you, it changed something in me. When I went to Johannesburg, there were about 10 girls also flying with me. And they said to me during lunchtime, "Sonica, can we please pray for you?" And they just prayed over me, blessing and words of affirmation and just encouragement. And I just thought, God, even now, even if I fail, even if it's a complete failure, these girls love me and they support me. And it took away all the fear, and it gave me so much confidence and so much boldness. And I just realized through this whole experience that there's something about love. And God can also manifest his love through people. All right? So you can also feel loved by somebody, and God can use that to show you his love. But somehow we need to experience the love of God, because it's the only way that we'll be set free. It's the only way that we'll be set free. You see, I experienced love. It's not as if I knew that you love me or that the girls who went with me to awaken love me. I felt it. I felt supported. I felt loved. I felt accepted. And it changed everything for me. Everything. And I so want all of you to know this morning that you are loved, that you are accepted, that even if you fail, even if you mess it up, even if you make a mistake, that in this church you're going to be accepted, you're going to be loved, and you're not going to be judged. And it will set you free. It will set you free. You know what is the big thing that keeps us from experiencing this kind of love? We call it condemnation. Condemnation, how does it work? The devil is the accuser. So he will accuse you morning, noon, and night of not being good enough. He will point out your failures. He will point out your shortcomings. He will point out your sin. He will point the finger back at you and accuse you. And even if you get it right, you know what the devil will tell you? It's not good enough. Even if you do it right, you're not even doing anything wrong, the devil will tell you it's not good enough. So you should have prayed at least an hour longer, or you should have fasted at least for 3 days, not one day only. Or you shouldn't have had that apple during your fast, you know. Water only, it's the only thing. You know, so even if you get it right, the devil is going to tell you it's not good enough. If you ever experience that, it's condemnation. It's the accuser. What is the result of condemnation? We feel disconnected from the Lord. So we can't receive his love. We can't run to him. We're disconnected from God. We become extremely self-focused, very self-focused. So all the focus is on you and not on Jesus. And the fruits could be anything from fear, depression, heaviness, anxiety, shame, guilt. It could be anything like that. It can even lead to a physical sickness. I can trace many situations in my life where I experienced quite severe condemnation, where it resulted in lying awake at night feeling so guilty, feeling so ashamed, and then shortly after that I would get sick. It happened, I can think of a few times in my life where condemnation, that feeling of, I'm so bad, I should have known better, I shouldn't have done that, and how could I have made that mistake? It led to a physical cold or a sickness because I just felt so bad. That can even be a symptom of condemnation. So let me take you to a scripture in 1 John 3, verse 20 and 21, the Amplified. It says, when our hearts in tormenting, self-accusation make us feel guilty and condemn us, he, that is Jesus, is above and greater than our consciences, our hearts. So first of all, I just want you to note that condemnation is tormenting. Self-accusation is extremely tormenting. All right? You torment yourself. The devil wants to torment us. That is why he wants to accuse us. But whenever you feel like that, God is bigger than your heart. He's bigger than that feeling of, I'm so bad, I'm so pathetic, I should have known better. God is bigger. God is bigger than that. And he knows and he perceives and understands everything. Nothing is hidden from him. God knows everything. And then it says, beloved, if our consciences, our hearts, do not accuse us, if our hearts do not make us guilty and condemn us, then we have confidence before God. What is that confidence? A complete assurance and boldness before God. So what does that mean? Whenever we come to a place where we feel condemned, we feel guilty, we feel ashamed, we feel we've messed up, we should have known better, God is bigger than that feeling, all right? He's bigger than that feeling that condemns you, that torments you, that makes you feel ashamed. And if that feeling is not there, we have boldness towards the Lord. But it also means if that feeling is there, that feeling of condemnation, we battle. We battle to just walk in to God's throne room and just sit on his lap because there's this something which we call condemnation that wants to separate us from God. And that is what the devil does. He wants to accuse us. He wants to separate us from God. He wants to hinder us from experiencing that love. And he'll use anything. He'll use a mistake you made at work. You'll use something that you said to your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife, and it was too late and it was out, and now you feel guilty about it. He'll make you feel guilty about not reading your Bible enough or not doing the right things enough. The devil will try any kind of angle, anything, to make you feel separate from the Lord and will break that connection. You see, condemnation takes us, I want you to listen carefully now. Condemnation takes us from relationship to religion. It takes us from a relationship where there is trust, where there is love, where there is, even if I'm going to mess up, God is going to still accept me, to religion, where there's rules, 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 and if I don't obey the rules, I'm in trouble. All right? That is religion, where we feel that we have to perform all the time to be accepted. So what the devil does, he wants to put the good works in front. Where Jesus says, no, it's by faith and by grace, and then the good works should follow. All right? We can never separate the two, but the devil wants to put the good works in front and says that's where you need to start. You must start doing good works. Where God says, no, I want you to receive my love first. And out of that relationship, the good works are going to flow. All right? It's a natural outflow of a love relationship with the Lord, the good works. But the devil wants us to start there. He wants to put that in front and says, if you don't do that, God is not going to be happy. Experiencing God's love gives us a boldness, and that takes us from religion to relationship, where we can come to Jesus just as we are. You see, that is what boldness means. That is what receiving God's love means. You can come just as you are. You don't have to fix yourself first before you come to God. He wants you to come just as you are. You see, God puts relationship first. The devil puts good works first. And then he traps us into religion and into a place where we so easily feel condemned, so easily feel disconnected from the Lord. You see, we don't have it in us to keep the law, to keep the rules, to keep the Ten Commandments. Jesus raised the bar even higher. He said, if we just hate somebody, it's as good as we have murdered somebody. Hectic. If there's any kind of lust in your heart, it's as good as you have committed adultery. Hectic. Okay? Jesus raised the bar. There's just no way in which we can make it. All right, and that is the purpose of rules and the law, just to show us that we need Jesus. All right, the law in itself is not bad. The Ten Commandments are not bad. It's a picture for us just to see that we need a Savior and we need Jesus. But in itself, when it stands in isolation, it's going to bring condemnation and guilt. But when the two are combined, When the law comes and Jesus comes and he says, I've come to fulfill the law, then he makes us free because we know that in him only, we can make it. Amen? It's good news. It's good news. And you see, if we are perfect, if we obey all the rules and we get it right easily, Why did Jesus need to die? It wasn't necessary then. If we can do it all by ourselves, if we can do all the 9 fruits of the Spirit, you know, peace and joy and friend kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, if that is just in us automatically, spontaneously, because we're so good, why did Jesus have to die? We need him. We need him. So I want to release you this morning from being perfect. Okay? You're all released from perfectionism this morning, all the perfectionists here. You can come just as you are. You can come just as you are to the Lord. And he's going to accept you. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, right now, there's no condemnation. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Which means Jesus can sympathize with your weaknesses. He was a man. He lived on the earth for 30 years before he started with his ministry. He knows. He understands the temptations. And he understands how frail we are. And he can sympathize with our weaknesses. And then the scripture says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus can sympathize with you because he's been there. He walked among us. And therefore, we can come boldly. We can enter. We can just come as we are. So we have to make war against the spirit of condemnation. It's not just going to leave us alone because the devil will forever accuse you. I've been through many, many situations in my life where I felt condemned. Sometimes my husband would just point it out immediately, saying, Sonika, that's condemnation. See it for what it is. And it helps me a lot. Sometimes we just need a voice of a good friend or your spouse to tell you, it's condemnation, you know, because in ourselves we feel terrible. And we don't always see it for what it is, but the secret or the power to break that power is to just identify it quickly, immediately. What is this now? Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel like a failure? Is it condemnation? Most probably yes. And then is it God speaking? No, it's the accuser wanting to take you out of the presence of God, that you don't want to go, want to even go to God. If you are at a place, you don't even want to run to the Lord, you want to run away. It's condemnation, all right? God's door is always wide open for us to come to him. We have to be able to identify that. The first commandment says, for we shall love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our soul, mind, and all our strength. How is it possible to do that? How is it possible to do that? How do we love the Lord? How do we obey the first commandment? How do we do that? The answer is found in 1 John 4:19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. It's as simple as that. And all we need to do is we need to experience the love of God in some way. God created you. He knows how you work. He knows your heart. He knows how to get through to you. We just need to give him an opportunity to get through to us. We just need to give God an opportunity to come and touch our hearts. I want to read one more scripture, then we're going to have communion. Ezekiel 36, verse 13. It says, I will give you a new heart. That's God speaking. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. This is what God wants to do. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you a new spirit. We just need to give him an opportunity to do that. Amen? We need to give him an opportunity. Maybe something has happened to your heart. Maybe people have trampled on your heart. Maybe something happened as a child. Maybe you just decided to close your heart to any kind of love because it's too dangerous to love. It's too dangerous to open your heart because you can get hurt. And I just really felt when I was praying this morning or for this morning that God wants us to open our hearts again to receive His love. He wants us to give Him another chance to show Himself faithful, because God is faithful. He's true. He's love. He's for you. And He wants us just to open our hearts and to give Him another opportunity. Amen.